Now, because most of you don't know me, I'm going to tell you first about one of my favourite foundry hobbies from when I worked here. So I worked here for 5 years, and I was the warden of Fairhaven's Court. And I worked often in that office up there. And while I worked here, there was a man who was on staff team, and his job was to mow the grass on site. Is that still a thing? Do we still have a ride-on mower?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So I like to give people nicknames. So I gave him the nickname of the Lawn Ranger, which is good, isn't it? It's a good one. And he was great to have on church staff because he was a born-again Christian. Now, the jokes aren't going to get any better than that, just to warn you. But the Lawn Ranger used to mow the grass, and he was really good with health and safety, so he would wear his ear defenders as he mowed. But what he was concerned about was missing a phone call while he was doing his mowing. So he came up with a strategy, and he told me this strategy, and it was like a red rag to a bull. So what he used to do was he would elastic band his mobile phone onto his ear defenders, so that if he got a call while he was on his mower, his phone would vibrate on his head, so then he wouldn't miss the call. So, I was up in that office up there, and if I could hear the elastic band, and he'd go to answer it, and I'd hang up, and then he would look all disappointed, and then he'd have to put it all back on, back goes the elastic band, back goes the ear defenders, all the rest of it. And then he'd go off again, and then I'd give him about 30 seconds, and then I would repeat the process. So it was a little bit naughty, but it brought me a lot of amusement. But just to say, I honestly did work really hard while I was here, even though that might make you doubt that a bit. I currently work at Bradford College, and I work with deaf students there. So I'm called a communication support worker. So I go around to different lectures with deaf students, and I attempt to sign whatever is said in English to them in sign language. So it's very challenging, particularly in topics like maths, because I'm rubbish at maths, and mechanics is probably my worst, because if you don't know what all of these car parts are, you just can't visualize what they look like. It's really hard to sign. But I absolutely love my job, and I work with some amazing people. In my spare time, my favorite thing to do is write. I would say that writing is my biggest passion in life. And I've asked permission to do a cheeky plug for a couple of the books that I've written. So I'm going to just do that now quickly. So this one is called When God Butts In. It was published 2 years ago by Authentic Media. And it's a 30-day devotional for anybody who is facing something that feels impossible, humanly speaking. And you really want to hang on and believe God in faith that he's going to intervene and turn that situation around. So there's that one. And then there's this one. You might all get a bit, some of you might get angry with me on this because I'm going to talk about Christmas. How do we feel about that? We're not that far off. Oh, I think the room's a bit split on this one. But we're not far off. Strictly starting soon, which means Christmas is just around the corner. So this is a nice little festive pun in the title, You'll Never Walk Alone, and it's an Advent devotional. So if you're interested in either of them, please come and see us after. And there's absolutely no pressure to buy anything today. Please don't feel that pressure. And if money is a problem, please just come and see us if there's anything that you're interested in, and we'll sort you out with that. So I think we'll get into the message for this morning. So the title, I think, that's going to come up on the first slide is, do you have an adjust table? Now, I'm not saying the word adjustable wrong. It's not like a Yorkshire way of saying the word adjustable. I am saying the word adjust table because I want to know this morning if you have an adjust table. And if you don't, I hope it's something that you will want to invest in after you've heard my thoughts on it this morning. So the Bible passage that we're going to look at today is from 1 Samuel, because you're in your Sammy Sundays, aren't you? And it's from 1 Samuel 1, verses 21 to 28, and it says this. When her husband Elkanah went up with his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, after the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. "Do what seems best to you," her husband Elkanah told her. Now, I don't know why, but that verse really jumped out at me. Don't know if any of the ladies agree with me there. "Do what seems best to you," her husband Elkanah told her. I think I'm going to get that printed on a mug for my husband. "But stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word." So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she'd weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, as young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, "Pardon me, my Lord, as surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you, praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord," and he worshiped the Lord there. So let's get into this perhaps a little bit weird, but hopefully wonderful theme of, do you have an adjust table? Now, I asked you at the start, if you had £20 right now, what would you spend it on? Well, I'm going to show you what I indeed have spent £20 on, which I am kind of regretting because Greeno told me that this actually is what I'm going to show you in some form. Okay, so when I take the cloth off, you can do a big woo kind of noise, all right, and look impressed, even though it might not be that impressive. Are we ready? This is, oh gosh, I think she's going to go. Hang on. See, I'm even calling her a she now. So this is the wonder that is the adjust table, okay? What do we think? Isn't she amazing? Kind of hospital vibes a little bit, isn't it? Okay, but I came across this table of wonder because I turned 40 last year. And since I turned 40, my social media ads have mainly been from a company called Must Have Ideas. Does anybody else get this, who's kind of midlife phase? So Must Have Ideas are relentlessly trying to flog me things to help me in my midlife. And it's things like the Radiator Buddy, which is a long, thin duster that you use to get right down in the cracks and crannies of your radiator. We've got the Bin Booster, which I'm really tempted for one of these. So you kind of strap it onto your bin, you pull down the lever, and it squashes all your rubbish in, and then you can fit even more rubbish in your bin. Amazing. And then, of course, the wonder that is the adjust table. So this is a table you can adjust to suit your own personal situation. So if you're on the couch, you can drop her right down so she can be the perfect height and you can reach a cup of tea nice and easy. You can use her for breakfast in bed. I keep calling her, don't I? That's a bit weird. Sorry. You can swing it around and then it's the perfect height for your breakfast in bed. You could even use it. You know, some people like to have a standing desk, don't they? You could even do that with it. So I believe that Hannah, who we've read about in 1 Samuel, had an adjust table. And I believe that all of us here today need to learn from her example and make sure that we have an adjust table too. So first of all, we're going to look a little bit at the background of the story of Hannah. So Hannah was married to a man called Elkanah. And Elkanah had 2 wives, Hannah and Peninnah. And as they sat around their table for dinner, originally, there was the 3 of them. Awkward times. And the reality is they probably didn't sit around the same table, but they are likely to have been in the same household under the same roof. So I imagine they could have encountered each other fairly frequently. So we had the 3 of them. Then Peninnah started popping out children like she was shelling peas. So it's thought that she had about 10 children. So this household table really had to adjust to accommodate Peninnah and Elkanah's growing Brady Bunch. So Hannah longs for a child of her own to be sat around this table, but she was unable to conceive. And Peninnah was really cruel to Hannah. She mocked her for not being able to have a child. And imagine how that must have felt for Hannah. You got this deep longing to have a family, and you're unable to do so. And then this woman who's also married to your husband is just doing it like that. Every time you turn a corner in your house, you bump into one of the Brady Bunch, and it's just another reminder that your desires have not yet been met. But despite all of this, Hannah prayed persistently and passionately for God to answer her prayers and bless her with a child. And she made a big vow that when this prayer was answered, she would give that child back to God to serve him in the temple. That was a huge sacrifice on Hannah's part. And Hannah lived an adjustable life. She lived in this household with the Brady Bunch and longed for a child of her own. Eventually, God did give her her own child. And for around 4 years, Samuel sat around Hannah's table. But then after 4 years, roughly, she gave him to the temple, as she promised she would. And then Samuel's seat at Hannah's table was empty again. She later went on to have 5 more children, 3 sons and 2 daughters. So eventually, the table extended again, and there were more little people around Hannah's table. But that is a lot of adjustments, isn't it? And Hannah made physical adjustments at her physical table. She had an adjust table. But alongside that, she had an adjustable heart, an adjustable spirit, and an adjustable life. And I believe that Hannah adjusted because Hannah trusted God. And I want us to focus this morning on Hannah's quality of being adjustable and bring a challenge about why it's such an important quality for us to develop. So the definition of being adjustable in relation to being a personal quality is the ability to adapt and thrive in the face of change. It's about being flexible. It's about being willing to modify your approach to meet changing circumstances. And it's about learning new skills, embracing new roles, and handling unexpected challenges. So that quality of being adjustable, there is a lot to it, isn't there? Now, confession time. I struggle massively with being adjustable. If you know me well, you will know that I am a list-making, planning, preparing, military operation-style person. I don't like to go with the flow, and I don't like to adjust my carefully crafted plans. As we've just gone back into a new term at school for Chloe and at college for me at work, there's been a lot of changes, and it's highlighted to me just how unadjustable I can actually be. And I said to Rod a week ago, I said, I'm preparing this message on being adjustable, and it's really made me realise that I am one of the least adjustable people. And he just looked at me and said, well, you said it. So I think that must confirm that it is true. So I certainly haven't got this nailed, and it's something I realise I need to develop in myself. But although it's not a natural thing for me to be able to adjust, there are a couple of ways I feel in my life I have been able to make adjustments. And one of those ways relates to how I've adjusted my expectations of what my family would look like. So there'll be a little bit more to come on that later on. But why is it important that all of us, especially as Christians, are adjustable people? That we have adjustable hearts, adjustable lives, and physical tables that we're willing to adjust. I believe it's because there are many people in the world who desperately need to be accepted, loved, included by people who choose to live an adjustable life. You know, as God's people, we have been shown so much love, grace, kindness, forgiveness, and mercy. And our lives should really then adjust so that we can show all of those things to other people. I'm going to share a little bit about adoption later on, but that is the reality for us as Christians. We have been adopted into God's family forever. We have a seat around God's family table, and that positions us so well to then be able to reach out to other people and to invite them to the table too. And I believe, as I'm talking about adjusting, I believe it particularly relates to people in our lives, people that you will meet, I will meet every day, who are facing massive adjustments themselves. We all adjust, we all have to make changes in our lives and face change, but not all adjustments are on the same level. So I was back to work a couple of weeks ago, just as an example, really, and there's an area where me and my colleagues have sat for 3 years where we type away, we have a little chat between our lessons, and basically, with hardly any notice, they were just like, right, you can't sit in here anymore, off you go. So we're now kind of wandering around the building, trying to find somewhere to sit and work, and it's been quite annoying. We've all been a bit cheesed off. We've all had a bit of a moan about it. It's an adjustment we're having to make. But then the next day I met a girl who I've not seen for 3 months, who I work with, and she's an asylum seeker. And she, in that time when I've not seen her, she has been moved from a flat into a hotel, and this is a basic hotel we're talking about. She hasn't got anywhere to store food, she hasn't got anywhere to cook, she's been moved from her social, you know, the people that she knew and lived, the neighbours and all that, she's been moved, so it's affected her social life, she's very stressed and anxious, and really it just puts into perspective the adjustments I'm having to make. So it doesn't disqualify them, but adjustments are on different levels. And there are people that we meet every day who are facing huge things, things like displacement, grief, relational breakdowns, mental health problems, and they need people around them who are willing to adjust to support them. I believe that living adjustable lives will look different for all of us because we're all gifted differently. We're all called to reach and support different people. And that's amazing because there's so many and varied needs in the world, aren't there? And I want to share with you two groups of people who I specifically have felt God call me to adjust for. And as I share, I want you to think who that might be or who that is for you that God is asking you to adjust your life for. So the first group is the deaf community. I've become passionate about inclusion for deaf people. And interestingly, on the table theme, there is something that deaf people experience called dinner table syndrome. And that means when they are sat around a dinner table, they're often very excluded because often nobody else shares the same language as they do. So they're trying to read lips, read body language, but they're just missing so much of the conversation and they do not feel involved. And this is how a deaf person themselves describes dinner table syndrome. You are left out of the conversation. While everyone is talking and laughing, you are far away. You thirst for connection. You suffocate inside, but you can't tell anyone of this horrible feeling. You don't know how to. You get the impression that nobody understands or cares. You are not granted even the illusion of participation. And this really hit home to me in a church that we used to go to. And I sat down next to this lady after the meeting to have a chat with her. And then I quickly realized that she was deaf. And I didn't know any sign language at this point. So I just thought, what am I going to do? So I did the universal thumbs up, cheesy grin, and then she did it back at me. But after that, we were pretty stuck. And in that moment, it really hit me how isolating the world is if you don't use a verbal language and you use a signed language. So that really prompted me. It really did something in me, and I just thought, I want to learn this language. I want to include some deaf people around the table of my life. And I can now meet that same lady in Nando's or Costa, and we have a great time, we have a chat, we have a laugh, we talk about faith, we talk about what we're watching on the telly, and it's brilliant, and it's connected me to some wonderful people. And it is an effort. To be adjustable is a massive effort. It will cost you time, it might cost you quite a lot of money, there's an emotional investment that is big, but it is way beyond worth it. My life is now enriched by people who I could not have been friends with had it not been for making that adjustment to learn this new language. But I also think it's really important to say that making adjustments for people is not about having power over people and us feeling like, oh, aren't we amazing for helping people? There's a mutuality in the way that we should adjust for one another. So yes, we step up and we help other people when they're in a time of need and trauma, but also we ourselves will need to receive that at times as well, because we all go through difficult things in life where we will need that love and support and the adjustments of other people too. The second group of people I've felt to adjust for are children in care. So I want to briefly share about the way God inspired me and Rod to be adjustable, to include a little person who wasn't biologically ours to be around our family table, and to share with you the joy that being adjustable in this way has brought us. So me and Rod have been married for almost 19 years, when we'd been married for about 7 years, I began to get broody, which I think is better than getting the 7-year itch, right, isn't it? So when this broodiness came over me, all I can say is I felt a real draw to adoption rather than to having biological children. Now, I'd always assumed I would have 2 kids the natural way. That's just what I thought my family would look like. And so I had to begin a process of adjustment because it was just a bit of a wild card, really, to me. I thought adoption was great and a brilliant thing to do, but it's not something I thought would be part of my story. And with it, as I started to read and get, you know, knowledge on adoption and Down syndrome and all these kind of things, the draw became very strong that we should adopt a child with Down syndrome with those additional needs, and also a child who wasn't accepted by their natural family because of that diagnosis. And all I can say is I really felt God was drawing us to do that. And I think I also recognised that I'd been blessed with a really kind, loving, secure upbringing myself, which not that many people experience. And I really wanted to make that adjustment for a little person who didn't have that kind of start in life. And the biggest challenge, really, throughout the process, it's a difficult process getting approved to adopt. There's many different challenges within it. But the biggest challenge, I would say, was holding on to what we believed God had said about the child he wanted us to adopt. So we met with 2 social workers, and I vividly remember them being sat in our house, and they were lovely people. They were so encouraging about us wanting to adopt a child with additional needs. But they just told us that in their honest experience, they'd never come across a child with Down syndrome in the care system. And they also told us that children are very rarely given up for adoption these days, which of course is a really good thing. But at the same time, it was quite hard to hear because they were the 2 things that I really believed God was drawing us to. And we really had to stand strong, stand our ground, and wait on God for the child that we believed he had promised to us, because it was so narrow what we were saying, a child with Down syndrome, very specific needs. They were regularly asking us to think about widening that, and it was really hard because we're looking at profiles of children and your heart goes out to them and you just want to step forward. But we had to be really strong on just staying strong on what God had originally said. And it was really difficult because it felt many times like it was never going to happen. When we looked at it with our natural eyes, it felt like this just isn't going to happen. And some scriptures from Romans 4 about Abraham are so helpful when we come up against impossible seeming situations. So Abraham was promised a child by God. And the Bible tells us that Abraham's body was as good as dead, and that his wife Sarah's womb was dead. Now, that is beyond hopeless, really, isn't it? But this is what the Bible says. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. He did not waver in unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. And so I hope that encourages some of you today in your own lives, that if you really believe with all of your heart that God has promised you something or is drawing you to do something, it doesn't matter what you can see with your natural eyes. You need to stand in faith and in hope and believe him for it. And because we held on to that hope, one day the phone call came that changed our lives forever. And our social worker told us there was this 4-day-old baby girl who had Down syndrome. Her birth parents had not known about this diagnosis and they just couldn't cope with it. And we both felt it was right and we said yes straight away. And we met Chloe when she was 12 days old. But this again was a huge adjustment because in our adoption training, we'd been prepped that it would be likely to be a child who was around the age of 3. That we would adopt. So secretly, I was hoping for one that was already eating well, sleeping through the night. That's what I was praying for. Anyway, so then we got this, and Chloe was actually 6 weeks early, so she was tiny, 4 pounds. So that was a huge adjustment. We had to order everything off Amazon Prime because in a week's time we were meeting her, and that was going to be it. So it was amazing, but it was scary and it was a big adjustment. But adjusting my expectations of what my family would look like is one of the best things I've ever done. The joy that Chloe brings to our lives is off the scale. You'll probably meet her again later, and she's just a little joy bringer. And she's also one of the biggest wind-up merchants you will ever meet. And she's even getting all, like, modern with her insults now. So she started to insult me via Alexa, basically. So she'll go, "Alexa, tell mummy, mummy smells," and then she'll collapse into giggles. So I think I've definitely met my match. It's probably some payback for the mower thing I told you about before. But I want to challenge you, really. Who is it that God has given you a calling to adjust for? What injustice in the world do you see that makes you mad and that makes you want to act? And have you taken any action on making those adjustments? So we're going to move on to have a look at the things that can prevent us from being adjustable and what we can do to counter that as well. And we're going to look at it in the context of table sins and table wins. So the table sins are the things that prevent us from being adjustable, and the table wins are the things that help us to counter those things. So I think we're going to have some slides up for them. So number one, table sin, is the phone. Anyone else admit to having an issue with their phone? It's something that me and Rod talk about all the time because we recognize these phones, they're just an addiction. It's just constant, and we know we need to do something about it, but we often just don't. But what a distraction, like if you go on a date and someone's just on their phone scrolling, it's not good, is it? Like a bit of a red flag there. But not just at your dinner table, in every area of your life, our phones can really distract us from the people around us and from our relationship with God too. And I love my phone, I wouldn't be without it, but we need to make sure that we are in control of them. The table win is eyeballs. So there's a guy called Paul McGee who's brilliant, and he says this: in a world of iPads and iPhones, we must make sure we don't neglect eyeballs. So we need to have eye contact, and not in a creepy, intense kind of psycho way, but just being present with people, being face to face, hearing people's stories. We can't adjust if our eyes are locked on our phone. We need to get our eyeballs up to be aware of what is going on around us. Number two, table sin. Can everyone do this? Clicking our fingers. So are we sat at our table like Lord Muck or Lady Muck, and we're going like this, and we're just hoping that everybody's going to cater for our needs in life, what I've ordered, what I want, my expectations, my needs being met. A bit of entitlement, maybe. And the table win here is to roll up your sleeves, to serve, to get stuck in, to set the table, to do the washing up, to actively look out for and adjust to the needs of others and respond to those needs in acts of service. You know, Jesus washed the grubby feet of his disciples next to a table, and he is our ultimate example of service. The third one is elbows on the table. So perhaps we've got a little bit lazy, a little bit familiar, a little bit fed up. But in this posture, we are unavailable to other people. We are not ready to reach out to adjust or to engage with other people. So the table win here is positive posture, to sit upright, to have open body language. We're looking out for others. We're ready to welcome and love other people. I think it's us being so grateful for what God has done for us that it causes us to want to reach and welcome other people. Number four. Okay, this one is being uncovered at the table, but steady on. I'm not talking about any dodgy naked dinner parties. What I'm talking about is not using napkins. Not even a sheet of kitchen roll is on our table. We're chancing it. We're hoping that we'll avoid dropping food and drink on ourselves. But life is really messy for all of us. And if we don't protect and cover ourselves, we will keep getting covered in stains. And that means that most of our time is then spent sorting out our own mess. We don't have the capacity then to adjust for other people and to help them with their mess. So the table win is to use the napkins. And this represents practicing spiritual disciplines like Bible reading, prayer, meeting together, serving. Because these disciplines help to cover us and just help us then to be able to live adjustable and others-focused lives. And the final one is private parties. So this really is the opposite to having an adjust table. It means you have a fixed table that you are unwilling to adjust for other people. You don't invite anybody to your table who is not like you, who is different from you. You've become perhaps a little bit exclusive. So the table win here is the invitation to pull up a chair, come and join me. Are we helping other people to find their place at God's table? Are we living inclusive lives where we actively look out for others who need to know God's love and who need to come and have that invite to our adjust table? So I don't know about you, for me, I'm very challenged on the phone and the napkins from that list, but hopefully there's something that's stuck out for you from that. So I'm gonna do next adjustable takeaways, and these are the things that I want you, strangely enough, to take away from this morning. Now, what do we fancy off here? I think, is this sweet and sour chicken? I think that's actually what we're going to have tonight, because it's, I don't know if I mentioned it's my birthday tomorrow, but it's my birthday tomorrow, so we're going to have a Chinese tonight, and I think that's going to be my order tonight. But for things I want you to take away from this morning, I've done an acronym, because I just love an acronym. I just love them, and it helps me to remember things. So A from adjust is for adventure. When you adjust for other people, you become part of an adventure for God. Adjusting and being involved in supporting and loving other people takes you down new paths and connects you to new people. It will enrich you and it will broaden your life. D is for disorder, which you might think sounds a bit negative. But I think when we're adjusting, we have to embrace the disorder. We have to embrace it's going to be messy. As we step in to help other people, it is messy. There will be chaos. It is emotional. It is physically demanding at times as well. But there is true and authentic beauty to be found around one of these adjust tables. It's not going to look like a perfectly set table in like a Hallmark movie. It's going to be a lot messier. It's going to be disordered. But as we step into other people's struggles, the mess will be there. But that is exactly what Jesus did for us. He stepped into our struggle and he helped us out of our mess. And that is what we should gladly do for other people. J is for joy. It will bring you great joy if you invest in an adjust table. Welcoming our little girl and making the necessary adjustments is one of the best decisions we have ever made. It's challenging. Sometimes we feel completely unqualified for this job. But the love, the laughter, the cheekiness that she brings to our lives is immeasurable. So you will find joy as you adjust. U is for understanding. Having an understanding and an awareness of the needs of the people around you. And also understanding that as a Christian, you are deeply loved, you are adopted into God's family, and that you will willingly then want to adjust to help other people find their seat at God's table. S is for show hospitality, but keep it simple. I love this quote from Shauna Nyquist, and she says, "True hospitality is when other people leave feeling better about themselves, not better about you." So it's not about impressing, it's about including. And me and Rod found it challenging, really, that it's difficult now to have people around in an evening. It just doesn't work so well. So we've switched it up. We do a brunch morning when we can. And we have a coffee and a bacon butty with people. We call it catch up and catch up. You can steal that if you want to. But we keep it simple. And then finally, the T is for trust. Hannah, who we talked about at the start, was able to be an adjustable person because she had a deep trust in God. And that adjustment that she made in giving Samuel back to God to serve him in the temple led to Samuel becoming Israel's greatest judge. So Hannah's act of obedience and surrender in giving Samuel back and making that huge adjustment meant years of goodness for her country. So being adjustable may not seem like that big of a deal, but the ripple effects of living an adjustable life really can be huge. So I'm going to ask the band if they'll come back up, please. And we're going to end with the Adjust Table Challenge. So this is where I want all of us to think of one person this week that we can make a small adjustment for. And I'm talking small adjustment. I'm not saying by next Sunday you've all got to have adopted 27 kids and had 300 people around or anything like that. But I just think it's really important that we do something about it and that we commit to making one tiny adjustment this week for somebody else. And as we sing in a minute, as we connect with God, I really pray that he will put somebody in your mind, in your world, who you're going to meet this week, someone you see regularly, that you know is in a really difficult time, that could just do with someone making an adjustment for them. And in case it's difficult to think of something, I just jotted down a few ideas. So things like, could you adjust your timetable for this week slightly and build in half an hour to buy somebody a coffee and be a listening ear, somebody that you know is going through something? Could you adjust your food shop budget to enable you to donate a few items to a family that aren't able to buy their own food this week? Could you adjust your phone use, as we talked about before, and commit to spending one break time at work, school, college, wherever, this week with your eyeballs up, not on your phone, and you're looking out just for someone who might appreciate even just 5 minutes of conversation? Could you, instead of doing the clicking fingers thing this week, just find one small way to serve somebody else this week? So start small, but be adjustable this week, and the joy that you will receive in the process will be great.